Good morning. Everyone is welcome to worship this morning, whether in person or at home watching online. If you come regularly or you're just visiting with us today, from the youngest to the oldest, from the smallest to the tallest, we come together to worship the one true living God. My name is Catherine, and I'm part of the First 20 Minutes team here in SRPC. And I'm delighted that together with the musicians, the singers, Alison, who's going to come to read for us, and Andrew, who's going to speak with us a little bit later on, to be part of our worship this morning. But before we begin, Johnny and Neil have something they would like to share with us all.
I just want to say two things really quickly, and then me and Johnny want to announce something important for you. Firstly, thank you to all the boys and girls, young people, leaders and everything. Everybody who had a part in last week's ARC service, it was brilliant. Really, really brilliant. I know so many people loved it. People were talking to me during the week about it. But also, I was a bit disappointed because last week was Father's Day. And I was sitting in church kind of waiting for, like, you know, where's the shout out for the dads? And I kept waiting and kept waiting. And it didn't really happen. So we do believe, joking aside, fathers, dads are an important part of our church family. So we have something important we want to tell you about coming up in the autumn. Sometimes dad is a bit of a bad word, isn't it? Sometimes you're thinking, like, dad, dad. Would you stop it? Why are you doing that at the front of church? Dad jokes?
Oh, lovely dad joke.
Love a dad joke, Neil. My daughter even bought me a dad joke book last week.
Nice.
Do you want to hear one?
Yeah.
Oh, like three people did. The two criminals who stole my calendar, I hope you both get 6 months. But I'm...
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks. Dad jokes. There's dad bods, sometimes people talk about. Like, dad fashion.
Dad bum bags. Dad from the 90s going on holiday.
Those dads that keep on interrupting you whenever you're just trying to, like, do something. Not even related.
Sporty dads. There's Andy Bills done 5 kilometres already this morning, I bet, yeah?
Probably. I didn't.
Active dads. Bet you Chris Guinea, he's probably like built a house or something already this morning. Nerdy dads. Not mention any names.
You should.
There's something up in the box up there.
Nice. So look, dads come in all shapes and sizes. I was thinking you've even got, like, you know, those new dads who've just had a baby and they kind of think, like, it's not going to change them. They just still go out for coffee just carrying this baby about looking cool. It's all right. And the dads who've been doing it for like 20-something years spend more time driving people about than taxi drivers. Dads come in all shapes and sizes. Me and Johnny are just representing two small points along that journey. You might have already heard Johnny or anybody else talking about Legacy Fathers. It's a program that is running. It's a program that's helping churches develop just a biblical way of thinking about fatherhood in churches. I know I'm lucky to have had a dad who taught me lots about faith growing up. He taught me nothing about, like, DIY, fixing cars, cooking, cleaning, anything. But he still teaches me a lot about faith. And that is more important than any of those other things. So that's what Legacy is about. It's about helping us, as dads in this church family, be intentional about passing on our faith. About helping share what's important for us about knowing God with our kids. So it's a new ministry. It helps church develop fatherhood and really helping fatherhood thrive in our church. So we've had a guy called Andy Lamberton who's in charge of this program. We've had him in to do a breakfast, and I know there was a good turnout back in earlier in the year. Yeah. So we had a breakfast already. There's podcasts available. But what we're looking forward to in autumn is a program called Men Behaving Dadly. So if you think that is good banter. If you think that is funny, you're literally the target market for it. If you're sitting there rolling your eyes and you've got somebody chuckling beside you, sign them up, you know. If you know a dad, if you have a dad who you think he's not going to sign himself up, he's not going to talk to Johnny and Neil at the end, he's not going to go and get a flyer, come and get one off of us for him. If you're married to a dad who you know might not even be here this morning, bring him one home. You know, whether you're a dad, whether you know a dad, we've got a video as well, just to help illustrate that a bit more. And I think my favourite bit about this is there's like a hawk or an eagle, and I was really hoping, really, really hoping there was an eagle that is coming. Now, I'm not sure we can promise that in the autumn, but have we watched the video? You can say a bit more, and then Johnny's going to tell us the logistics.
Men Behaving Dadly is a series of four evenings for every father, father figure, uncle, granda connected to your church. And while we talk about the real stuff of faith and fatherhood, we don't take ourselves too seriously. And there is content from the front, but the evening is based around conversations. So really, the content from the front just tees up a conversation that you then have around your table with other fathers connected to your church.
We are all learners at being dads. When we accept that we're learners, I think we will get more out of this. And if we listen to other dads, we can take their experiences and implement them in our own families, use the tools that they have used, and help our children grow.
Definitely come along, even if you're more quiet. There's no kind of pressure to chat, but again, loads of wisdom to be learned, loads of God-centered, Bible-based advice for raising your kids. So I would give a massive recommendation to anyone who's thinking of coming along. And to all dads, get yourself in the mix. Definitely worthwhile.
So, if you have kids, 0 to 25, this is for you. Four Wednesday nights in September. Would love to have you there. Put it in your calendar, put it in your diaries. Mums, put it in dad's diaries. Organise themselves. Neil and I will be giving some little postcards out at the end to remind you about it. This is new. It's exciting. It's intentional without being intense. And it's so, so important for us to help build in our relationship with our kids and shaping their faith in Jesus. And as the strap line Andy likes to use is, dads, you're more important than you think. Please come and get involved. We'll chat these at the end. Thank you.
As we come to worship this morning, let's join together in a responsive call to worship. These are four verses from throughout the Bible, which are going to fit in with the theme of today's service. And they are from the International Children's Version of the Bible, so hopefully some of our younger members will join with us. I'm going to read the words in red, and if you would join me in the words in black, and the final verse we're going to read together. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need. And when you pray, always give thanks. Be full of joy in the Lord always. I will say again, be full of joy. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Today is a holy day to the Lord. Don't be sad. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. Be quiet. This is a holy day. Don't be sad. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, you have vowed to care for us and provide us with everything we need. You have promised us joy and contentment in you, and yet we still doubt you. Help us to come to meet you this morning with open hearts. Help us to still our busy minds and quieten the stresses and worries of the past week. Help us to rejoice in your promises and find comfort in your word. Amen. And now we're going to stand, if you're able, and join together by singing two songs this morning. First, Blessed be your name, and O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Streams of abundance flow.
Okay, so we're going to begin this morning with a little bit of audience participation, but I promise it's not going to be hard. There's no tricky questions, and absolutely nobody needs to panic. So we'll have a couple of practices to get into the swing of things. So first of all, I'm going to ask you all a question, and without taking too much time to think, I want you all to shout your answer out at the same time once I give you the countdown. Couldn't be easier? Okay, so this is the first question. I'm going to give you a little bit of thinking time. I'll do a 3-2-1 countdown, and then everybody at the same time, you're going to shout the answer out as loud as you can. So the first question is, what is your favorite season of the year? Okay, a little bit of thinking time. Wait for the countdown. Ready? 3-2-1.
Summer.
Okay, heard a lot of summers out there. Wonder is that because we're in summer at the moment? Okay, here's the next one. This one might not take any thinking time. But wait for the countdown. What is your favorite football team? 3-2-1. Oh, okay. Okay, this one, some people might have to think back a little bit further than others. Some people only need to think back to yesterday. What is or was your favorite subject at school? 3-2-1. Oh, I heard quite a bit of maths there. It was good. Okay, so we're warmed up. So now it's time for the real question, okay? And there's only one of these. There's just one real question. And this one is possibly harder than all the ones that have come before. So I'm going to give you a little bit of thinking time and no shouting until the countdown. You're not very good at instructions. Ready? The question is, what makes you, you're only allowed to have one word here, what makes you happy? Thinking? 3-2-1. Dave Rice, I heard yours the loudest from the front there, which was pizza. We had lots and lots of different answers because for everybody here today, lots of different things make us happy. And just like the ideas that are on the screen, the answers to that question are endless. We could go on forever thinking of things which make us happy, from our favorite foods, like Dave Rice, to a new game to play on our games consoles, to being invited to a party with our friends, to music, to spending time with our family. The list of things which make us happy is endless. It goes on and on forever. But I think that one of the things which affects our state of happiness quite a lot is the weather. So even on the screen, if you can see inside all those words, there's several different types of weather mentioned. There's sunshine up there, there's rainbows, there's snowflakes, there's fluffy clouds. And for the last few weeks in Northern Ireland, we have been blessed, not today, but I believe it's going to get nicer later on, with beautiful weather on most days. The sun has been shining and the temperatures have been warm enough for us to go to school or work without a coat, which in Northern Ireland is great. We've all been able to spend lots more time than usual enjoying ourselves outside, eating outside, playing outside, going for walks outside, and it's just been lovely. But I wonder, like me, have you noticed that as the weeks have gone by, people have begun to get a little bit restless about the weather, and the happy, positive comments have begun to change a little. And I wonder, like me, have you heard some of these comments, or like me, have you been guilty of saying some of these comments? What a glorious day. How lovely to be able to get the washing out in the line. No need for a coat in the playground today, P6. My goodness, it's hot. Do I have to put sun cream on again? It's too hot for school. I suppose I better get up and go out and water the plants again. I'm fed up with hay fever. A good shower of rain would be great for the lawn. The air is so heavy, we could do with a really good thunderstorm. I can't believe the rain. If only it would rain when I'm in bed at night. And so it goes on. We're happy when the sun shines, but very soon the appeal wears off and we start to grumble. We shouldn't complain, but over the spell of good weather, which I'm not going to complain about, a robin, who you can maybe see on the screen, has taken to visiting our garden. He appears when we sit outside, and he watches and he listens, and ever so gradually he's learning to trust that we will not harm him. He hops happily from fence to fence, and sometimes even closer when we are sitting. His contentment with the world is beautiful to see. He sings in the sunshine. He flaps his wings in the rain. And the Lord provides exactly what he needs. And I think we would all love to learn more from him and share in his easy joy and his contentment with life. But it's hard to be happy and content all the time. And there are times in our lives when we just don't feel like showing our joy and gladness to those people around us. In the Bible, we learn that real joy comes not through the things we enjoy, the things that you shouted out earlier, but through knowing Jesus himself. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." As we head towards the summer and towards the holidays, which I know for one I'm looking forward to, 12 o'clock on Friday this week coming. And as we head towards the end of the school year, there are lots of people in SRPC who are preparing to serve the Lord through camps, missions, Exodus teams, holiday Bible weeks, CSSM, and many, many more. And it's our prayer that these volunteers will find that true contentment and joy in serving God in various different ways this summer. We want them all to know that they embark on their missions with the prayers and the love of our SRPC family as we all learn to live life together with Jesus. So before we sing our next hymn, I'm going to ask David to come up and pray with and for all those who are going to be involved in summer mission.
Good morning, everyone. Normally, we really only have actions during our songs, but I thought today we could have some simple actions during our prayer to help us focus. The first action will be like this, like we're praying, but this action is to help us remember to be thankful. The second action is both hands on your knees, and that's to help us think about the people who are going out, who will be walking out to serve on summer mission teams, like Catherine said, CISM, Exodus teams, holiday Bible weeks and stuff like that. But it's also to help us remember the children and young people who will be walking into different summer events, different activities, different church programs. And the last action is one hand on heart, one hand on head. You can do it whatever way suits. But that's to help us remember to keep our hearts and minds open to what God will be teaching us this summer, either through a church event or through reading the Bible or through what other Christians might be saying to us or doing for us. And I'll try and make it as clear as possible when you switch actions. So let's put our hands together for our first action and pray together. Father God, as we come to the end of another school year and look forward to the summer break, we thank you for all the ways you've blessed us this year. We thank you for all the things we've learned in school or learned from each other. And we thank you for all the teachers and all the youth leaders who have helped us and taken an interest in our lives and our education. We thank you for family members who've helped us with schoolwork or encouraged us to go to different church events. Thank you, God, for all the great experiences we have had this year and for all the memories we have made. We can now put our hands on our knees as we continue to pray. Lord God, we want to take a moment to remember all those who are going to walk with you and walk for you this summer. We remember all the CISM leaders, Exodus team members, and all the other church volunteers who are going to step out in faith to serve you. Give them the strength, courage, energy, and wisdom they will need to be able to tell others about you in a very clear way in the different places they will be this summer. And Father, we also remember the children and young people who will be walking into this building and the other church buildings involved in Newton Breda CSSM. We pray, Lord, that each child and each young person would feel very welcome, especially if it is their first time. And we pray, Lord, that they would have fun making friends and getting to know their leaders as they learn more about you. Take away any fear or anxiety, Lord, and help them walk confidently into each church building, knowing that it is a special place designed just for them. And lastly, as we put one hand in our heart and one hand in our head, we'll finish our prayer. Finally, Lord, we want to focus on being open to what you might teach us this summer. Wherever we are, whether at home, on holiday, visiting family, at work, during schism, or when on an Exodus team, please help our hearts and minds be open to you and your word. We pray, Lord, that we would hear your voice speaking clearly through small groups, Bible study, worship songs, or through conversations with others. Be close to us all this summer, Lord. Amen. Let's stand together again and worship as we sing "I've Got That Joy, Joy, Joy Down in My Heart." And after we finish singing, all the kids will head out.
Well, good morning. Lovely to see you, lovely to welcome you again. Catherine has already done that, but lovely to welcome you. My name's Ben Walker. I'm one of the ministers here at Saintville Road. It's great to see folks and great to welcome you, especially if you're visiting with us or new with us this morning. This past few days has been the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. So that down in assembly buildings in the middle of town has been the gathering of the great and the good and some Presbyterian ministers and elders as well, just discussing and talking through and shaping the life of our church. It's been great to have throughout the course of a year, but also you see that more up front over the assembly. Lots of people are involved, even from Saintville Road, in shaping the life of our church. Over the last couple of days, if you've been following or watching on live stream, Gordon and David Thompson and others have been shaping the life of our church. We're really grateful for that. There are also visiting delegates who come over each year to the assembly, and we're delighted to have a couple with us this morning, Paul and Alison Wells, who are European delegates. So coming from Aix-en-Provence, the Institut Jean Carvin, which is a French teaching college which partners with PCI and where Gordon was. It's lovely to have you with us this morning. But now based in Liverpool, Paul, I think you were making the point that your European delegates based in Liverpool, which is really appropriate because lots of Liverpool supporters over the past few months have been desperate to stay in Europe. Isn't that right, Chris? Anyway, it's lovely to have you with us, Paul and Alison, and others who are visiting with us. Do stay around for coffee and chat afterwards. Just a number of things coming up, or just to flag up for you, you've already heard about men behaving badly, and do bear that in mind. That's a great thing that's going to happen in September. Coming up immediately this evening, you're warmly welcome to join in the prayer service with Beaver to pray about our Beaver partnership and pray with the folks in Beaver. That's 6:30 tonight in Beaver Presbyterian. That's the last one of the term before the summer comes. So do come along to that if you'd like to at 6:30 tonight. We also have a prayer meeting. Sorry, I failed to get it on the announcement sheet, but our prayer meeting is this Wednesday at 7:30. Again, the last one of the term of a Wednesday evening, so this Wednesday at 7:30, we gather and pray together here. Also, just kind of looking back and looking forward, we've heard a little bit, and we've been praying for those who are heading off and doing various things this summer, and I'll say something more about that in a moment. But we've also produced a Children's Youth and Family Ministry update and all the things that have been going on in the past year with our Children's Youth and Family Ministry. It's great to read through all the different things that have been happening across the various different groups and the young people who've been around and all the brilliant leaders who've been helping out with that. So there's one for everyone. You should have your name and address on it. It's out in the hub. So pick one up as you go from your district or your elder or your committee member or hand one to you. And if I can just ask elders and committee members, for all those that aren't around, if you can get those out to them in the next couple of weeks, that would be great. But do grab one of those. It's a great, encouraging read. As I was saying, we're praying. Dave was leading us in prayer for a number of things happening over the summer. As you well know, schism is on, and with it being schism time, and there's a great schism team who help out with that, and they need fed throughout the week. And so what we do every year is provide food and catering for them. So if you can help towards that in any way, either donating money or donating food that will help feed the team across the week, will you see Marty? Mine's just going to wave. Just I can see Marty there. Will you see Marty after the service and go and speak to her? She'd love to see you and see how you can help out with that over the week of schism, which is the last week of July. We heard again, as I said, about men behaving badly starting a new term. One other thing happening in September, and I want to flag this up to you now and let it sit with you, and we'll talk about it more again, is we're going to provide an opportunity to explore or re-explore Christian faith for those who would love to. So starting from around about mid-September on Sunday evenings, Ruth and I are going to be running an alpha group, an alpha course. If you'd like to explore the Christian faith, you think, actually, I've thought about this a bit, or I haven't, or I'm more new along to St. Paul Road, I'd like to think about that more, or you'd like to re-explore that. I want to examine the faith that people talk about here, and I've kind of heard about here, but I want to look at that a bit more, and join a group and have a chance to ask questions or not, to listen and speak or not. We'd love to have that opportunity, and we'd love to encourage you along to that. That's going to start in September. We'll say more about that as that goes along, but even before the summer starts, let me plant that seed with you to have a think about. I think that is all in my scribbled notes and the back of the announcement sheet that I want to say. We are going to come to reading, as Catherine's already been helping us think about contentment and joy. In a moment or two, Andrew's going to come and lead us as he preaches. We're beginning a series looking at the Ten Commandments, but looking at them slightly differently with slightly different, I suppose, understandings of the spirit behind them, and looking at them backwards too. So do not covet or find true contentment is what we're going to be about this morning. Before Andrew comes to that, and I hope I haven't stolen the thunder of his introduction by saying that, we are going to hear from God's word. And Alison Mullen's going to come and read from Matthew chapter 6.
This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen.
Good morning.
Before we turn to God's word together, let's just take a moment and pray.
Heavenly Father, as we come now to your word, Lord, we thank you for the pages of Holy Scripture. We thank you that they are indeed a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And so, Lord, we pray that as we study them together, Lord, that you would bring us encouragement where we need to be encouraged. Lord, may you challenge us in those areas of our lives where we need to be challenged and stirred up. And Lord, in the gentle way that only you can, Lord, in those areas where we need correcting, Lord, may you correct us this morning. And may the glory of Christ be our chief concern. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a story of a Sunday school teacher, and she was teaching her 6 and 7 year olds about the Ten Commandments. And as she was going through the Ten Commandments, she arrived at number 5, to honor your father and your mother. And so she spent some time explaining what does it mean to honor your father and mother and living together in family. And then she asked the boys and girls a question. She says, does anybody know of a commandment that tells us how we should treat our brothers and sisters? And wee Tommy shoots his hand straight up in the air and he says, yes, I know. And she says, what is it? He says, thou shalt not kill. And so this morning, that is what we're here to think about. We're here to think about these Ten Commandments as we start, as Ben said, with the 10th commandment about coveting. And it's an interesting commandment. I'm not sure if you've ever given it much thought. It's down at the bottom. I think we know very clearly and carefully what do the others mean when it says don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't make any idols. We instantly know what that means. We instantly know what we should and shouldn't do. But sometimes I think with the 10th commandment, not to covet, sometimes we maybe don't understand that one as quickly. But before we look at that, I'm sure many of you will be familiar with J. John. He is a minister, speaker, and author, and he's based in the Church of England. And he has a book on the Ten Commandments entitled God's Timeless Values for Life Today. And what we'll discover in this series, I hope, is that these Ten Commandments are about helping us as a community. These aren't commandments given to individuals, but rather these are commandments given to people living in community with one another. But J. John writes this in thinking about the Ten Commandments. I believe passionately that we need to recover the Ten Commandments for our society. The idea that God has rules for the way we live and may we live may sound uncomfortable to us today. Yet, if there is a God who has made us, and if he has spoken, then it makes a lot of sense to listen to what he has to say about how we live our lives. I come across many people who believe in God, but don't believe God. They believe in the Maker, but do not accept his instructions. That, of course, is nonsense. God himself is the source of the Ten Commandments, and because the Maker of the Ten Commandments is the one who created the human race, his commands work. And so I hope that we discover that over these next 10 weeks, that his commands work for us as we live and serve in community together. And so commandment number 10, found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And so this morning, as a way of unpacking this, I thought I would ask three questions. Firstly, what is coveting? Secondly, we'll look at what's the problem? And thirdly, what is the solution? So first of all, what is coveting? What does it mean when we say, you shall not covet? Last year, I served my summer assistantship in Second Cumber Presbyterian Church with the Reverend Andrew Conway. And a few years ago in 2015, he wrote a wee small book that he had published, and it's entitled The Shorter Catechism Made Simple, with the aim of putting that much-loved Westminster Shorter Catechism into modern English. And so I thought it would be a good place for us to start this morning to look at the Catechism to see what does it have to say to us in relation to this 10th commandment. And so question 80, I think it's going to come up on the screen. Question 80 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What does the 10th commandment require? The 10th commandment requires us to be content in our own circumstances and to take a right and generous attitude to others and all that belongs to them. Question 81, what does the 10th commandment forbid? The 10th commandment forbids discontentment with our own circumstances. It likewise forbids envying or grieving at the good others have, along with all inappropriate desires for anything that belongs to someone else. Andrew Conway then writes following that, the word covet isn't used very much these days, but it basically means desiring something that doesn't belong to us. And so therefore, this commandment speaks more to our inward thoughts and desires rather than our physical outward actions. So coveting isn't something that coveting is something that affects our mind or our heart as we desire and even earnestly seek something that we don't have, something that doesn't belong to us. Alec Mutter in his commentary on Exodus has a helpful point, and he looks at the examples that are given in the text. And he points out that the commandment provides a wide selection of possible objects that we can covet, but that this list isn't exclusive. You see, that is that the command not to covet isn't restricted to the items specifically on the list, but rather as God lays example upon example, he is driving home the seriousness of the sin of coveting itself. And so what are those things that we covet? I don't know about you, but I think coveting is a very easy sin to commit. And I think most of the time, and even sometimes, we can do it without even realizing that we're doing it. How many times have we heard or even used the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side? Maybe you've also heard the saying, our yearnings will always exceed our earnings. We can covet clothes. We can covet houses, salaries, talents, lifestyles, careers, cars, mobile phones, social media, followers, even the number of likes on our social media posts. There are many things in life that we can covet. And of course, we are always surrounded by advertisements. We're always surrounded by adverts that are deliberately trying to manipulate us, to make us discontent with what we have in order to entice us to spend more money. Many of us in our pockets or sitting under our seats will have a mobile phone. I wonder how long it is when you get your new mobile phone that there's a new one released. They're always released 6 months, a year afterwards. And that one that you had, and it was good at the time, and you're thinking, you know, I've got the new iPhone Pro, but now there's the new iPhone Pro Max. Maybe I need that extra half inch or inch of screen. Maybe that'll make all the difference to my scrolling through social media. There's always things that we can covet. And so now that we've had that, think about things that we can covet. There are, of course, things that are good for us to seek after. You see, J. John writes that some of our deepest desires are for good things. Pleasure and joy, belonging and security, comfort and safety, excitement and adventure. And these things aren't bad. These are good desires that we have. But we have to be aware that just as well as we can have good desires, we can also have bad desires. Desires that take our attention away from God and put them onto ourselves and what we can achieve and what we can provide for ourselves. And so now that we've spent a bit of time thinking about what coveting is, we need to ask the question, well, what's the problem with it? Why is it here in this list of the Ten Commandments? What is it that makes coveting so bad? Well, firstly, I'm sure if we put the backing track on, there are a few of you who could sing along word for word. I'll not ask any to stand and do that. But the film, The Greatest Showman, many of you, I'm sure, have seen it several times. There are the lyrics from a song which I think powerfully describe our culture. Let me read them to you. All the shine of 1,000 spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough. Never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it'll never be enough. Never be enough for me. And so that's the problem with coveting. You see, it's never enough. Once we get that new iPhone Pro Max, whether it be the 13 or the 14, the 15 will still come. Whenever we see those social media followers and we covet and we get those numbers and we maybe have several thousand followers on our social media, there will always be somebody who has even more. And so there will never be enough to satisfy us. Even if we get that which we covet, there will always be something greater, always something more to entice us. Unlike most of the other commandments which focus on our outward actions, the final commandment gets to the heart of the matter. The problem with coveting is that it's the point where every breach of the law begins. The problem with coveting is that it's the point where every breach of the law begins, when our own evil desires, we are dragged away and enticed. And I wonder if we take King David as an example of this to help us illustrate this point. You see, King David broke the 6th and 7th commandments because he broke the 10th. If you remember to the story that I'm sure many of us are familiar with of King David, and he is on his roof, he's looking out over his kingdom, and he spots a woman bathing on the roof of her home. He saw Bathsheba. And in that moment, he could have looked away. In that moment, he could have stayed himself, looked away, and focused his attention on something else, but he didn't. Those coveting thoughts took hold of him, and he started to covet the wife of Uriah. He started to covet another man's wife, and it all spiraled out of control from there. You see, not only did he covet her, but then he acted on that. And he sent for her and he spent time with her. She became pregnant. And of course, then King David tries to cover things up. He brings Uriah back from the front line in the hope of covering things up. That didn't work out as planned. And so then he makes the decision to send Uriah to the front lines of the battle. And he gave the orders that at the right time, the rest of the soldiers would pull back, leaving Uriah alone on the front lines, knowing that that was his execution. See, David committed adultery and murder because he let his covetous desires run away with him. Another example for us to look at comes from a story which Jesus told, and this is slightly different, but it helps us to remember that things are only temporary in this life. They're not real riches. Jesus tells the parable of a man who had a field, who had ground, and he had an abundant harvest. And the problem that he had was he had no room in the barns to store up all of his grain. And so he thought for a while and he said to himself, I've got it. I'll just tear those barns down and I'll build even bigger ones and I'll put all of my grain and harvest in there. And then he says to himself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your life will be demanded from you. You see, this young man had come to the conclusion that he could provide for all of his needs, storing up for himself more than he needed, trying to provide his own security and provision without thinking of the others around him. But at the end of the story, what was all that material wealth worth? It was worth nothing. It was all taken from him without warning. See, coveting focuses our attention on ourselves, seeking things or stuff that we think will make us happy. I'll be happy if I have. I would be more happy if I could only get, or I could only be. But wrong desires lead us further and further away from that which is good. And it can lead us further and deeper into sin as we give into coveting. And so instead of trusting in God and finding satisfaction in him, we look inward to ourselves and what we can do. And so having looked at what is coveting, what does that look like? Now we've thought about the problem of coveting as we can covet the things that belong to those around us. I think we need to spend some time thinking about the solution. Rather than going away burdened with a command, do not covet, I want us to leave feeling encouraged by finding true contentment in Christ. So what is the solution to coveting? Well, firstly, let us look to Christ. In our reading that was read for us earlier, Jesus is saying, you know, don't focus our attention and worrying on the things of this life. Don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about what you will wear. You know, have you considered the lilies? Have you considered the birds? God provides all of this. Why are you worrying when you're so much more valuable to God than this little bird? Are the lilies of the valley which are clothed in greater splendor than Solomon. And so what Jesus says at the end of that is this. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when we do that, then all of these other things will be added to us. When God will provide for our needs. So Jesus is encouraging us in this passage to trust in God, because God is faithful. If God looks after the birds, then of course it is reasonable to know that God will, of course, look after us. As Ben was saying earlier, this has been the week of the General Assembly, and our new moderator, Sam Mawinney, his theme for this year is confident in Christ. And so I've heard two sermons on this week. First on Wednesday night, when Sam Mawinney himself shared on what it means to build on that solid rock, on that solid foundation, which is Christ. And then the Reverend John D. Rhodes, who is a minister in Leeds from the International Presbyterian Church, he too spoke on this theme of being confident in Christ, finding our confidence in him. And I think no greater place is our confidence found in than in the cross of Christ. You see, it's in the cross of Christ that God shows how valuable we are compared to that sparrow. Because God demonstrated his love for us in that while you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still so undeserving, so Christ died for us. And so does that not scream love and value? Does that not prove to us that we can indeed put our confidence in him? This isn't one who just said, put all your trust in God, but this is one who demonstrated why and showed us how we can put our trust in God. One of the songs that we used to sing all the time in school assemblies came to me as I was preparing this message, and it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and all the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so firstly, we look to Christ, we put our confidence in him, and then secondly, we live in contentment. Contentment isn't something that we run after, that we seek to achieve, but rather contentment is something that we rest in. The Apostle Paul, who suffered many things, including many beatings, multiple imprisonments, he wrote that, I have learned in whatever situation to be content. Paul trusted in and believed in a sovereign God who was the ruler of everything. And because of that knowledge, he knew that God would provide for all of his needs. And so he rested in that knowledge that God would be with him, that his daily needs would be met. Being content helps us to remember that every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father. Therefore, we can trust that if we needed more, God would provide more. And so as we live in contentment, let us think carefully about what it means between wanting and need, and trusting that God is the one who meets our needs in Christ, and that we can rest in him, we can live in him, and we can rejoice in him, knowing that he loves us and that he cares for us. And thirdly and finally this morning, the solution as we think about how we can avoid coveting is this: be thankful. One of the opening speeches was given by Professor Michael McClenaghan as he was accepting his role to take on the role of principal of Union College later on in the year. And one of the things that Professor McClenaghan said in his opening speech was he was encouraging us as a General Assembly to be thankful. To be thankful for what we have, rather than focusing on what we don't. And as I was thinking about this morning's message, as I was listening to him, I thought, how true is that of us in our everyday lives? It's very easy for us to look at the things and focus on those things. But rather, let's take some time and be thankful for those things that God has given us. For example, sometimes I can find myself coveting the musical talent of others. Sometimes I would love to be able to play the piano beautifully, to be able to lead in song wonderfully with the voice of an angel. But I have to remind myself that they are not the gifts that God has given me. God hasn't called me to be a musician. God hasn't called me to lead musically. But rather, God has given me the gifts that I need as he calls me to serve him in pastoral ministry. And so I have to remind myself sometimes not to look at the things that I would love to be able to do, and sometimes to covet those, but rather to take time and thank God for the gifts that he has given me, that he has given me to use to serve him and his church. And so let me encourage you today or later this week to pause and consider those things and gifts that you can be thankful for. Take some time and write them down and thank God for them. And maybe also take some time to thank God for the gifts of others around you. You see, as we all serve Christ as members of his body, serving in different ways with different talents, but we all together serve one Lord for his glory. And so as we leave here this morning, we have the command from God not to covet what isn't ours. But let us leave encouraged that we can rest, that we can resist the temptation to covet by putting our confidence in Christ alone, learning to live in the contentment with the security that he provides, and being a thankful people for everything that God has blessed us with and given us with, both as individuals and together as the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn to the pages of the law, sometimes, Lord, we can feel burdened. Sometimes we can feel discouraged. And sometimes, Lord, we can feel that we could just never achieve your standard. But Lord, we thank you that you know our human frailty. Lord, you know our weaknesses. And Lord, we thank you that you sent Jesus into this world to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, bearing the punishment for sin that we ought to pay. And so, Lord, we thank you that because of this great love that was demonstrated to us on the cross, Lord, that we can turn to you and we know that we are loved by you and that we are more valuable than the sparrows. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to leave here knowing that we are loved and cared for by you. Help us, Lord, to have our confidence firmly fixed and rooted upon that solid foundation, which is your Son and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would teach us and help us to live contentedly with the things that you have given us, using our resources wisely for your kingdom. And Lord, help us to be a thankful, rejoicing people as we thank you for every good and perfect gift that you have given us. And so, Lord, we thank you for all of these things that you have done for us and through us. And Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. And all of these things we pray in that beautiful, wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we respond to God in worship, let us stand and sing two pieces together. Lord, I need you, and it is well with my soul. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us this day and forevermore. Amen.